Guitarathon is the greatest guitar sale on earth, and it's happening now. Get massive savings on a huge selection of electric and acoustic guitars, basses, amps, pedals, and other accessories. Save up to $450 on a Gibson Les Paul Studio Deluxe, up to $900 on a Gibson Les Paul Trad Pro 4, or save up to 20% on other select Gibson guitars. Plus, get special financing on select major brands. Don't miss these incredible deals. Available online and in-store, now through November 1st. Guitarathon, only at Guitar Center. Find your sound.
You are Locked On 76ers, your daily podcast on the Philadelphia 76ers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 76ers. I'm your host, Keith Pompey. I got my man, Bob Cooney, here today. And, you know, we want to talk to you about right now, which is sort of the hottest story surrounding the Sixers. It's not Ben Simmons. It's not Joel Embiid. It's Jahlil Okafor. When and if he'll get traded. Bob, I'm under the impression that I think it will happen. I think that if it doesn't happen, to me, it's going to be more surprising than them not moving him. It's just a matter of when it's going to happen and where does he go.
Yeah, I still think the Sixers are in a decent position where they don't have to rush. Mm-hmm. They really don't. I know people, you know, somebody has to go. Somebody has to go. Well, not right now. They really don't have to. Mm-hmm. You know, it'll happen. It'll happen either at the trade deadline, maybe before. Maybe it'll be maybe it'll be draft night. Mm-hmm. But something will happen and something will work out. And I think Brian Colangelo, because you have four centers on this team, I think he has the luxury of sitting and kind of biding time and see what he likes best. You know, I've said this before, and you and I have talked about this, Keith. Sixers, if they get lucky, they're just like the Eagles were with Sam Bradford, and somebody has a need, and then, you know, you can unload somebody for a need, and you might get a little bit more in return than you're looking for. But I just don't see the rush to get it done now. You're not going anywhere this year. You know, those guys still can get some playing time, and people can see more of what they can do. And I just think it will happen. I just don't know how imminent it is.
Exactly. Do you think, you know, we talked about Brian, but you say you don't see the rush. But then there's some people who have the argument like, hey, like if the Sixers would have traded them last year at the trade deadline, they probably would have had the third overall pick.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Hey, if the Sixers would have traded them at the draft this past summer, hey, they might have had a couple first rounder or a first rounder and a player. Do you, and then, you know, so there's an argument as if the longer you hold on to these guys, the less their trade, you know, the more their trade value drops.
Yeah, what in my opinion, what overcame that was, I think the reason they were holding on, I don't know if you agree or not, was because you had to see what Joel Embiid was. True. And you had to see what you had there before you could unload. And if you went through all this and then, God forbid, you traded one of those and Joel Embiid wasn't able to play, you know, then you're really back to square one. So, yeah, has their trade value decreased? Absolutely. But you've also gotten a far better player in Joel Embiid than you probably ever imagined. So I see the trade-off there. But, yeah, I just wouldn't rush into anything. I know it sucks for Joel Embiid and it sucks for Nerlens Noel to have this playing time that they currently have. But, you know, that's really not Brian Colangelo's problem right now. He's got to look out for the future of the team. And, you know, they're just going to have to do what they're told, and then he's going to have to unload when he sees fit.
Mm-hmm. Now, you know, the thing about Jahlil Okafor, like when you know, he's the guy that it seems like that all the news is coming out with, like Nerlens Noel, you know, with his trade value, it's kind of, it's low because, let's face it, he's going to become a restricted free agent. So it's basically, hey, I'm a trade for this guy. How do I know if he's going to be, if I can keep him. So it just seems like a lot of teams are going after Ja. Now, you know Ja probably more than anyone else in the beat. You have the best, you know, the best relationship with him. Now, to me personally, it looks like he's handling it well. Now, I don't know what he says when he's at home with his father, when he's on the phone with agent Bill Duffy. But I must say that, you know, it's really commendable the way he's dealing with it and working hard and still being a part of the team.
It is, and that can only benefit him. I mean, there's no it's understanding to see a 21-year-old, a 22-year-old mope and not be happy when things aren't going their way. But it totally behooves him, and it's going to make for a better career for him or for anyone else in that position. Just put your head down and play. And when he's on the floor, you know, he just needs to go out and play hard. Now, he had a performance, you know, on the road where he had the one rebound in 24 minutes. That's unacceptable. Mm-hmm. And that's just simply unacceptable. Brett Brown addressed him. The next night, he grabbed 9 rebounds. I think, this is a little off subject, but I think the game kind of comes that easily to Jahlil Okafor. And once he learns that, like, he came into the league as a bad foul shooter. He was told, you need to correct that. He did. I think he's a horrible defender right now, not a good rebounder. I think once he puts his mind to those things, he can become better. I think that's really all it takes. And so as good as he's been as far as accepting all this, there's still another step to take in playing as hard as you can when you're out there. And I think that's what frustrates fans. Sometimes they don't see maximum effort from him, and he's got to give it.
Yeah, and me personally, I think he's a kid. I think he's a baby.
No question.
Because, you know, you look at him and you talk to him, and, you know, his personality, you know, he's not like, he's a nice guy. Let's just say like that. And I'm not saying he's soft or anything like that, but he's a nice guy. He gets into different things than most people. Like, he's more, you know, he's more into like, hey, you know what? I want to go to the zoo in Miami, and I want to see cubs. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You don't see too many kids his age doing things like that. Now, getting back to that, I kind of think that the fact that he's so much bigger, stronger than everyone in high school, and he had such an elite skill level, that in a way, I think it kind of set him back a little bit. And I know that sounds crazy.
No, it doesn't. Yeah.
But the reason why I'm saying that is because everyone said he was a one and done. But realistically, there's not a lot of 6'11", 260-pound, 5-pound guys walking around in high school.
Right.
Right? So he dominated a lot of guys who were smaller than him. I honestly believe if he would have stayed another year at Duke, right, and then he would have got a little bit stronger. He would have had more competition against NBA, like, prospective NBA-type players.
Yeah.
So I say that to say, like, you know, he would have been more prepared. Now we look at him. He comes in here. He has that big body. And people are saying, well, how come he can't do this? Well, how can he do that? To me, it's the same as a 6'5", 300-pound offensive lineman in high school. The only difference is that guy gets redshirted.
Right.
And he has to play at least 2
years.
Seasons.
Yeah, right.
Exactly.
Right.
So, and I think that, so when we, I, basically, Jahlil Okafor's best seasons are ahead of him. Because he has to learn, like, hey, that when I said I was working hard in high school and I was working hard that one season in Duke is a completely different thing going up against grown men, and I have to get stronger.
Yeah.
But I think he will do that. But right now we're judging him off of what he looks like than his age.
Right. No, you make great points. And we're judging him off of 85 games in the NBA, which is barely over a full season. And he's 21 years old, and he had an injury last year. And you know, when Ja first got here, he and I sat down for a long period of time for a piece that I did. He wanted to stay at Duke. If he had his choice, he would have stayed. But family situations and being what it was, you know, he came out because he wanted to help. You know, he wanted to make money, he wanted to help his family a little bit. And he's made no bones about it that Duke was his favorite place on earth. And he probably, you know, that mental hurdle of having to do something at 21 years old as opposed to being able to do what you want to do, that's something to get over also. So you wonder how much that also came into play. But I see tremendous upside in the kid. I see the deficiencies. Believe me, you and I see it every day.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand them, and I understand what concerns fans. But he doesn't suck, which are 1,000 emails that you and I get and tweets that we get. He does not suck. He's got an NBA skill that few men 6'11", 265 have. His offensive skill is just off the charts when it comes to people of that build. So he needs to improve in some areas, but I think he's a 10, 12-year NBA lifer who's going to put up some big numbers.
Yeah, he just needs one thing they need to make sure is, just like, I think the holdup is his knee. People want to make sure that his knee is okay. He says it feels better. I wonder if that's also contributing a little bit until, like, people want to see some records. And also, you know, like, again, we both said that he's a great guy. We both say that. But he has gotten into some trouble. And so right now, I'm assuming if I'm a general manager at another team, I'm trying to do a background check. I'm trying to do a health check. But then also, I think things will clear out for him and he should be fine.
Yeah, I think those issues were we're kind of solitary. I don't think he's a, like you said, he's not a bad kid. And I talked to him right after those issues, and you did also. And he was contrite. He was sorry for what he did, and he knew it was stupid. And hopefully he learned from him. You know, I have kids the same age as him, and they do stupid things. It's just not in the papers, and it's not on television. So, yeah, I think his best years, obviously, are still to come. And I think those years are going to be really, really good in the NBA.
Okay. What do you think would be a good fit for him?
You have to look at a team. You know, people keep looking at what the Sixers need or what they should get. It's really going to come down to what another team needs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a team maybe making a playoff run, or a team that thinks it can go far in the playoffs, that might see a deficiency in their rim protection. Well, Nerlens Noel fits that perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's you know, somebody that you can deal with. If there's a team out there that loves their offensive game, but they might have a hole in the middle, they need some more scoring there. Well, then Jahlil Okafor is your guy, you know. So that's why I think they can be patient. What they get, I really think, is going to be determined by what another team needs. I really do. I think that's going to run this trade for either one of these guys. It's not going to be so much the Sixers driving what can we get for them. It's what are people willing to give for them.
Yeah. And I wouldn't be surprised. And again, we talked about Noel's situation, but I wouldn't be surprised if both of them left.
And the player for Sean Holmes leads you to believe that. Mm-hmm. You know, that's a nice backup to have. And you know, as we've talked to Brett Brown earlier this season, ideally when Joel Embiid is healthy, he sees a starting center going 36 minutes a game. So, you know, 36 minutes, that only leaves 15 minutes for anybody else. So, and that's a good spot for Rashawn Holmes.
Yeah.
And he is very adequate at doing that. And then Brett Brown has toyed with Ilya Sova and Dario Saric playing the 4 and the 5 when they have to go smaller. And so there's still a lot of flexibility to the lineup, whether you get rid of Noel, whether you get rid of Okafor, whether you get rid of both. And I think Joel Embiid's play affords you that luxury of thinking about it.
Yeah. And, hey, I just want to just help you guys out. Sorry about the late notice, but as you know, Brett Brown is to entertain his good friend, and a great team. It's going to be, I'm not going to say homecoming, but it's going to be a host party, the Sixers against the Spurs tonight. And I'm just telling y'all, if y'all want to see a team that's probably going to play for the NBA Finals in the Spurs, you need to go to this game. And in order to do it, you need to go to SeatGeek. To me, SeatGeek is the smartest, easiest way to find tickets for the basketball games you want to see up close and in person this season. There's nothing like being in an arena for the biggest plays of the year, and with SeatGeek, it's never been easier to get the guaranteed seats that you want for a great value. But I'm telling you, I want you to save money too. So what you need to do is you need to download the SeatGeek app, right? So when you do that, you get a $20 rebate. But what you have to do is you got to download the app, go to the settings tab, and click on a promo code. Enter a promo code LOWSIXERS. That's for Locked On Sixers. A capital L, a capital O, a capital S, and Sixers. And then SeatGeek will send you a $20 rebate after you made your first ticket purchase. You know? So I think people need to go to this game, Bob. I think that you guys also need to, you know, pay attention to, you know, for the updates that we're going to have in the Daily News, the Inquirer, and also on Philly.com. And you better do yourself a favor and, like, click on to Philly.com around 11 o'clock where you could get our update coverage from tonight's game and all the games and everything, because the Sixers are really hot right now. And like I said, we didn't even get into Ben Simmons. We didn't even talk about Joel Embiid. But hey, if you want to get the best coverage in the area, you know where to come. And Bob, I want to thank you for being on the show today, and I would love to thank you all for listening. Talk to you tomorrow.
You are Locked On 76ers, your daily Philadelphia 76ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.